Praise God. So we believe in the power of prayer, do we? We believe in the power of prayer. Yeah? Prayer changes things. Without prayer, we have no way to God. Prayer is that place where we receive power. Prayer is that place where we pour out our hearts to God. Prayer is that place where we petition God for the things that we need. Prayer is that place where we come into the very presence of God and we begin to worship Him. And prayer is the place where we pull down strongholds, where we break the power of the enemy over our lives, in our lives, and in the area where we live. And prayer is important. And so prayer is it is not just words. Prayer is a supernatural dimension. It is not just purely words. Prayer is about doing some spiritual warfare that will pull down the strongholds. Prayer is about getting a breakthrough. Prayer is about seeing God reveal Himself in power. So prayer is supernatural. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is what the church needs to be filled with more of. Not praise and worship, but prayer. And that prayer will smash the things that prevent God moving, that seem to want to stand against God, that seem to want to stand against the church. And we as a body of Jesus Christ should commit ourselves. We should ought to commit ourselves to more prayer. And as we commit ourselves to more prayer, we will see strongholds change. We will see our families change. We will see a greater commitment in the body of Christ. We'll see a greater commitment from individuals as we pray. Today, many people are missing. Why? I don't know. But all we can do at this time is pray. Lord, give them a desire for You, for Your Word, and for Your presence. If you turn to the book of Nehemiah and chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 1. I'm going to speak about something that we did a little bit on Wednesday evening about spiritual gates and spiritual warfare. The Word of God tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. In other words, it is not a natural world that seeks to resist us, but it is a supernatural world that seeks to resist us and prevent us doing the things of the kingdom of God, that prevent us moving forward, that will actually even hinder our own lives. You see, the devil does not want you to succeed. And your success and my success will be when we are in Christ and Christ is in us. But you know, if we let the devil draw us away from Christ, we won't see the success that God has for us. You won't be satisfied with what the world has to offer. Because what Christ gives is fully satisfying. And when you immerse yourself in the Word of God and the things of God, and you become so enthused and so set on fire by the word of God, nothing will prevent you. Nothing can stand in your way. And God is calling each and every one of us to a place of greater commitment, greater passion and power in His name, through the Word of God, through the presence of His Holy Spirit working in our lives. And the book of Nehemiah starts with this. These are the words of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who had a great passion for God. He was a slave in another country. He wasn't allowed to do what he really wanted to do, and that was to worship God. He was a stranger in a foreign land. He was a prisoner in a foreign land, and yet he had such a love for his own nation. He had such a love for Jerusalem. And it says there that in verse 3, and he said unto them, unto me, this is God speaking to Nehemiah, the remnant that are left of the captivity, they're in the province and in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates are broken down, and they have been burned with fire. And verse 4 it says, and it came to pass when he heard these words that I sat down and wept, he said, and mourned many days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He hears about the tragedy, what has overtaken his beloved city, his beloved land. And he begins to cry out to God, he begins to fast, and he begins to pray. And he begins to seek God, so that things would change. And if you want things to change, and if I want things to change, it is going to be through prayer. It is going to be through the power of prayer and God working through you and me. Because you see, God wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to work in your life. You are one of the keys. You're one of the people that God wants to use. See, God has called each and every one of us to be life changers. We're here to change lives. We're here to show Jesus to our friends, to the world around us. We're here to reveal the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're called to prayer. And in prayer there's power. And as we draw closer to God, we begin to become empowered by the Spirit of God. If Jesus himself had to draw to one side and go up the mountain and find space where he could talk to his Father, where he could pray to his Father, how much more do we need to be able to draw aside and speak to our Father, our Heavenly Father? Because he will give us the instructions. He will empower us. He will quicken us. He will give us the answers. He will give us the strength to press on. Nehemiah, the story goes on, that he hears about the disaster that has overtaken Jerusalem, the state that it's in, It's all falling down, the walls, there are no gates. The city is not protected. And he begins to pray. God gives him a commission to go and build the walls again and to rebuild the gates. And so he gets permission in the end from the king to go and to build the walls and the gates. And so in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 13, Nehemiah has arrived in Jerusalem. He's been there 3 days. And he says, so he went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well and onto the refuge gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed with fire. Everything's burned. The stones that were built, the walls of Jerusalem, if they were ever set on fire, if they were exposed to fire, they just, in the end, turned to powder. They were never any good as stones for building a wall, because they'd lost their strength. The fire had taken their strength from them. And so he begins to prepare the people. And he begins to say to each and every one of them, each family, be good in the church, each family to take its responsibility to begin to build the wall, to begin to build the gate. And so each family was commissioned to, where you are, begin to build that part of the wall. If there's a gate there, begin to build the gate. The gate speaks of spiritual protection. It is a place of great importance. The city gates. And these are some things I just want to share with you shortly, so that we can pray along these lines and ask God to begin to move. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 1. And it says there, now it came about that when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became furious. He became angry and mocked the Jews. And he spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish it? Finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burnt ones? Now Tobias the Amorite was near him, and he said, even if they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down. This is what they were saying. They were saying it is in such a state that when they put something up there, when they've tried to build a wall, all you need is a fox, and he can jump up there and the wall will just fall down. That was the state that they thought it was in. It was in such a poor state of repair and destruction. The walls of Jerusalem had to be rebuilt. The gates of Jerusalem had to be rebuilt, because they were to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You might say, well, why is this so important? It's Old Testament. There's a lot in the Old Testament that we need to look into and remember and realize that the Old Testament is a shadow. It points to what is to come. It begins to tell us what is going to happen. When we arrive at the New Testament, it becomes the reality. The Old Testament is a shadow. The New Testament is the reality of the outworking and the plans of God. Why did they have gates? They had gates simply to protect themselves from marauding bands, from robbers. That was one reason. Another reason was that when people came through the gate, it was the place where they collected taxes. Heard about the tax man? He's always there. They collected taxes. It was a gate where business was done. It is a gate where things were sold and bought. It was a gate where business meetings went on. The gates were quite important places. In some cases, at the gate, it was like another building, and there were like offices in the building. I'm saying modern gates, but over the centuries, gates have developed, and they began to build ornate gates, and in those gates there would be offices, there would be places where business was done, there would be the authorities. I suppose even today, when you come into our nation, when you get to an airport, you come through a gate. And when you come through that gate, there's usually an official there. And he wants to see your passport. He wants to check that it's all in order. Right picture. Everything looks okay. And if that's okay, he will let you through the gate into the country. The gates were places where they were protecting the city. On a night time, the gates would be closed, so that everybody could sleep easily and comfortable. They were protected. And during the daytime, the gate was opened for people to go out, for people to come in. In a similar way, we have gates today within our cities. We don't use them like they did in the olden days, but these gates are markers of spiritual dimensions that we need to consider. We need to realize that in these spiritual dimensions that we talk about, a gate is a spiritual gate. And we can stand at the gate spiritually. We can pray at the gate. We can charge angels to stand at the gate and begin to protect our city. We need to enable through prayer. We need to begin to take our authority and begin to press in and begin to charge the angels with responsibilities of protecting our city. I know in the past, some of the people have had break-ins. In the area, we know of theft that has gone on. The police can't deal with it. But God can. God can. And we have to be part of that, you see, because we are a spiritual people. We have to begin to take our authority. We have to begin to take our stand. We have to begin to pray over our city gates. Doncaster has a number of gates that we need to pray about. We need to pray over. We need to pray into. And as we do that, we will see God moving and changing the area of Doncaster, I believe. In Proverbs it says there that at the head of the noisy street she cries out. Wisdom is crying out. She cries out in the gateways of the city. She makes her speech to spread her words to the maximum number of people. Wisdom should take the gates. The gates are where people come in and go out. If you speak to people as they're coming in and going out through the Spirit of God, we need the Spirit of God to begin to take charge of our city gates. The story of Ruth. Many of you know the story of Ruth, and she was a Moabite, the grandmother of who? Anybody know? Whose grandmother was she? King David. She was the grandmother of King David. Well, no, not grandmother. Is it great grandmother? I've lost. Great grandmother. Great grandmother of King David. And Ruth had married a young man who had come from Israel. They'd left Israel because of famine. They'd walked away from it. And her mother-in-law was called Naomi. And Naomi had two sons and a husband. And they all died in a foreign land. They all died. They'd left Israel and they died in a foreign land. And Naomi came to a point where she had nothing left. And she decided that, well, maybe it's time to go back to where I came from. And so she began to make the journey to go back. And as she began the journey, her two daughters-in-laws went with her. And along the way, Naomi turned to the daughter-in-laws and said, look, I've got no more family, no more sons. So why don't you go back to your own families and start a new life? And so one daughter-in-law said, yeah, okay, I'll go back. But Ruth said, no, I'm married to your family. I changed my family roots. I'm tied into it. And I'm staying. And wherever you go, I'll go with you. I'm married to you now. I'm part of your family. I'm your daughter. And so they journeyed on their way to her old city. They journeyed on their way to begin to start a new life. And when they got there, they had nothing. Nothing at all. She had to beg. And it was a time of harvest. So during that time of harvest, she went into the fields. And as they were taking the corn and the wheat, she would follow them and pick up the scraps that were left behind. And she'd work the field all day, just picking up little bits. And the man that owned the field, his name was Boaz. And he saw her one day and he said, who's this? Who's this lady? And they told him. And he realized that she was actually a distant, the mother-in-law was a distant relative of his. He said, so just drop a few extra on the floor, a few more grains, so she's got some more to pick up. And when Naomi found out where she'd been gleaning, just picking those bits up, where have you been? She told her. And she said, oh, he's a distant relative. And so they arranged for Ruth to go and meet with Boaz one evening. And the story goes on that he decides that he's going to marry her. And in that decision, he realizes that there is somebody else that comes before him. And so he has to arrange a meeting at the gates. And so in arranging the meeting at the gates with this other man, and he gets together a number of elders of the city, and he begins to say to him, there is this lady called Ruth. She was married to Naomi's son. She's back in the country. There's a piece of land that belongs to her that must be purchased, and you must marry this lady Ruth. And the man decided, the closer relative decided, he said, no, I'm not going to do that, because that will damage my future inheritance. He was selfish in one sense. So they exchanged contracts at the gate, and Boaz was given the right to marry Ruth. And in so doing, Ruth became, as I say, she's in the line of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ and David. What a wonderful decision. And you know, in that line, there she is. But you see, the business was done at the gates. And we have to realize that business needs to be done in our gates. Supernatural business needs to be done in our gates. If we want to see the church being prominent and ruling and reigning, then supernatural business needs to be done at the gates, and it needs to be through prayer. And only prayer will change our nation. Coming out of Europe will not just simply change our nation. Staying in Europe will not simply change our nation, whichever it happens. Changing our government would only go part way, or change a prime minister will only ever go part way. Everybody seems to think they're in charge. Every government seems to think they know best. Every government seems to think they've got it all sorted out. And yet, where is God in our nation? If we want to see our nation blessed, then God has to come first. There are scriptures in the Old Testament where it talks about when the children of Israel turned their backs on God and walked away from God. And when they walked away from God, it says the land was cursed. There was famine in the land. The animals were dying. There was drought. And you know, as soon as the nation turned back to God and began to connect with God and began to pray to God, suddenly the land was blessed. The land became fruitful. There was wheat, there was corn, there was food on the tables. The animals were blessed. Things were happening because they were connected back to the giver of life. All life comes from God. All power comes from God. And we have to realize that we need to connect with God more and more. And as we connect with God, we will see the power of God changing our lives, changing our cities, changing our nation. And it is so important that we learn to do this, and we see God moving power. Our gates are important. In Zechariah it says there in chapter 4 and verse 6, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by your strength, it's not by your own natural wisdom, but it is by the Spirit of God. And as we allow the Spirit of God to move in our lives, we shall see the blessing of God. When we press into the presence of God, the blessing of God will overtake us. The blessing of God will come upon us. The blessing of God will begin to change our lives and our destiny. Today in Doncaster we have a number of gates. Some are ancient gates, some are new gates. One of the ancient gates is St Mary's Bridge. Another one is St Sepulchre Gate, Hall Gate, East Lake Gate, Marsh Gate. The modern gates are the Robin Hood Airport, the Doncaster Railway and Bus Station. This is where modern transport comes in, where things are brought into our city, where people come into our city. Good people, bad people, bringing with them their own desires and wanting to bring destruction with bad people. And so we need to pray that somehow by the presence and the power of God our gates will become filterers, and that God will begin to deal with people in our city. If we want to be protected, it's not with the police. It is with the power of God. Amen. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that empowers us. It is the Spirit of God that works in our lives. And it is so important that we begin to realize the importance of prayer. So what I did, I went out and I took some photographs. East Lake Gate, one of the gates to pray for. St Mary's Bridge. When you see the photographs, it just triggers something in your mind. Another one to pray for. Anybody been to Robin Hood Airport? No? One or two gone out on holiday. Another place, Robin Hood Airport. Anybody been to the bus station and railway station? Another place, the modern gate. St Sepulchre Gate, just near the French Gate Centre, that area. Marsh Gate, one of the main roads coming in, the main arteries of roads coming into our city. It's an ancient gate, actually. And Hall Gate, another one. It's an ancient gate. We need to begin to pray and begin to see the presence of God moving. See the power of God moving. And I probably just want us, just for a few minutes, we're going to just scatter these photographs around the church. I'm just going to ask you for a few minutes to just go and pray and ask God to speak to you. Pray over these gates. And we're just going to do that for a few minutes, and then we're just going to come back together and just thank God that He's beginning to work and He's beginning to change things. So let's believe that. So I want just to put those out for a few minutes, and we're just going to pray together. Just go to different gates and begin to just seek God and just begin to pray over those gates. Begin to command the angels to take charge and to take responsibility for those gates as we pray. And we empower the angels to minister in our city gates. You know, when we pray, we actually give angels power and authority. They have to listen to the children of God. And as they listen to the children of God, they take their lead from us. They're waiting to see what we will do. Because the Bible says that you and I are sons of God. And the angels are looking to the sons of God. Till for the sons of God to begin to take their lead. And the sons of God need to take their lead in prayer. The sons of God need to take their lead in the destiny of their city, their nations. The sons of God need to arise and let their enemies be scattered. Amen? So together, let's just go around and begin to pray. We did this on Wednesday. It's no great urgency. But just go and just visit the gates. And just for a few moments, just spend some time and pray. And just let God begin to minister through you. Because there's power in your prayers. There's power in your prayers. God's listening for your voice. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear your thoughts. Then He can move. He's waiting for your voice. You know, in the beginning, God said, when Jesus healed the sick, He spoke the word. Peter and John, when they were passing through the gate to the temple, and there was a lame man at the gate, and they said to him, "Such as we have, we give unto you. We don't have any silver, we don't have any gold, but what we've got is the name of Jesus." And they reached down and they lifted him up, and immediately he was whole, he was healed, he was leaping and dancing and praising God for his healing. That's just two disciples. That's just two men. But they spent time with Jesus. And if we spend time with Jesus, then we're going to see miracles. We're going to see things change for the glory of God. So if you just like to rise and just go around and just begin to pray in those areas, and when we'll just come back in a few minutes and be seated. But let's do it with some passion. Let's do it with some fervor. Let's do it that, well, do it like you believe it, at least to convince me. And hopefully, you know, God will see your hearts as well. Amen. Praise His name.